Today is Wednesday, June 10th, or 23rd day of the month of Sivan. This is the women's Chumash here, in Bereshit, Perek Tet. Okay, Rabotai. We're in the middle of Bereshit Perek Tet with a disturbing episode with Noach and one of his children. So if you remember last week, we read Pasuka Chof Bet, Chof Aleph and Chof Bet, where the Torah stated Vayar Chom Avi Kina'an et Ervat Aviv Vayageid Shnei Achal Bachutz. And he went and told his two brothers. So, Vayikach Shem Vayefet Hasad Simla. They took the blanket, Vayasimu Al Shchem Shnehem, and they put it together. Together they covered him. Vayelchu Achoranit, they walked in backwards. Vayechasut Ervat Avihem, and they covered the nakedness of their father. Ufnehem Achoranit, and their heads were facing backwards. Ve'ervat avihem lo ra'u. Vayiketz Noach miyayno, vayeda et kol asher asa lo b'no hakatan. Fine. So here is what happened. One of the troubling phrases that we had already identified earlier, but still have not really fully understood why the phrase Avi Kina'an, Chom Avi Kina'an appears once again in Pasuk Chof Bet. We are already told in Pasuk Yud Chet, Vayu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha-teiva shem v'cham v'yafet, v'cham hu avi kina'an. We don't identify any other children except one of the children of Cham, and that was Avi Kina'an. And we were told that the reason why this is so is to let us know, give us a little foreshadowing of who is going to be responsible for something that happened to Noah. Okay, so we bought into that. However, why does that description that Chum happens to be the father of Canaan, why does it appear again in Pasuk Chof Bet? What does it contribute? So that's going to lead some Mefarshim into a very different understanding as to who was responsible for what. That's number one. Number two, we already mentioned what exactly happened. There were three interpretations as to what happened. The simple reading of the text, he was lying naked. The two interpretations offered by the Gemara, which Rashi quotes right here, and if Rashi quotes it, you can assume he believes that's exactly what happened. That's Rashi's style. So what happened? Either they castrated him, or he had a homosexual relationship with him. That's what Rashi says. But in any case, he was lying there naked. So Shem and Yefes take a blanket, they walk in backwards, so that not to look at him, they put the blanket on him and they walk out. Question number two, which we'll try to identify, is why does the phrase Ufnehem Achoranit appear twice in Pasuk Chof Bet? It already tells us they went in backwards. Ufne Vayelchu Achoranit. They went backwards.
Then they were facing the way they were walking, it would seem. If they were facing backwards, then they were looking at where they were going.
No, why does it say, if I say walking backwards?
But it said,
that means they went backwards.
Okay.
They never turned around. No, no. They never looked. Their head is still backwards. Their face is backwards. Noach is over here, and their face is this way. No, that's correct, because it wants to tell you. They walked in not looking at him. They covered him not looking at him.
I understand. But sounds like it should be, but it's a very bizarre construction.
Correct. It's totally superfluous. Because if you're walking in this way, obviously you face
it. You could say, Ufnehem Kadima. Ufnehem Kadima.
No.
It doesn't mean to say, I know what you're saying. If you're walking this way and now your face is looking that way, that's precisely what, then what would be, if they're looking this way, what's the person walking backwards? So we have to assume they're walking backwards. If they're walking backwards, they didn't look. So what do I have to say a second time with Ne'am Acharanit?
Because when they turned to place the cloth, they still didn't.
Okay, so Rashi's going to add a little more to that. Okay, I'm just raising the issues. Yes.
Maybe when they, after they put the cloth on, they turned around so they could walk out backwards. So they're facing them out of Kavod after they put
the cloth. Good, good. We're almost, you're on the right track. But I just want to be sensitive to the question. Why does a phrase appear a second time? And then the third issue which we're going to deal with is Vayeda noch eis asher asa lo b'no hakatan. Who is that? Who is that? Chum. Okay. If it's Chum, the following has to be addressed. Since when is Chum B'no HaKatan? He's not B'no HaKatan. I'm just trying to raise the points. Then I'll take you, we'll see. He's not B'no HaKatan. And if it is actually Chum, what other question will reemerge that we asked 5 minutes ago? Why do I have to mention Canaan to this picture? The topic was introduced that Chum Avi Canaan. Why did we say it was introduced? Give us a little glimpse. Who's going to be the active player in this unfolding drama? Canaan did play a role. If Beno HaKatan is Chum, whether he is or not, that's going to be a separate issue. What has his grandson, Canaan, got to do with this? So that not only did I make it appear once, but it appears twice. Vayar Chum Avi Canaan. Excellent. Who cares if he's Avi Canaan? If Chum is the one who took a look or did whatever he did. Those are the questions which we will deal with. And we will focus on Chizkuni, he who says something spectacular against the grain of everybody who offers parshanut on this particular section. As usual, we start Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki with Rashi. Let's take a look at his opinion. So, Rashi initially is not bothered in Pasuk Chavbet. Yeah, he is. Rayar Chom Avi Kina'an. Yesh Mirabuseinu Omrim Kina'an Ra'a V'Higid La'aviv. Canaan walked into Noah's tent and he noticed that he was naked. But he didn't do anything. Then he went and told what? His father. And now the presumption according to Rashi is that what? That Chum did something. So they're both a little involved. Number one, Canaan saw and, you know, it was inappropriate for him to see him that way. And number two, Chum may have either Sirso or Rivo, perhaps. But what's bothering Rashi is with the question that we raised. Why identify Canaan if he didn't do anything? So Yesh Mirabu Seinu, there are some in the Medrash who says that Chum is the first one, and he called, Canaan is the first one, and he called Chum, and Chum took the action that he did. If, however, you ignore the Midrash, and simply read the all you do is read the simple pshat, which is nice to do every once in a while, then nobody castrated anybody, nobody had a homosexual relationship with anybody. What happened? They saw him naked. So Canaan sees him naked, and then Chum comes in, he also sees him naked, and he didn't do anything about it. So they both did the same thing, and the point is they didn't react. They did nothing to what? To change the status quo. They walked in, and they may have left them, and that's it. That's it.
If you read the Pshat, though, then Canaan really didn't do anything.
According to Rashi, he did.
Yeah, the Pshat.
Because the Pshat makes no reference whatsoever. Canaan did it all. Exactly. Zero. Exactly. But you have the difficulty, why is he mentioned?
Right.
So you have to respond. You don't have to like Rashi's response, but he's doing something because there's a problem with the text.
Especially
the text. Why?
Yes, it's terrible to see father lying there. He's naked. That in itself is terrible. Yes.
If the Peshat is not terrible, he was naked, they went, they covered him, they saw him, they covered him. Why is it worthy to be mentioned, like because of the shock.
Because it's shameful that a child should walk in and see his parent naked.
And tell his
brother. It's shameful.
It's
what?
It's worthy.
Yes, it is. It is what it's telling us something about what is considered appropriate behavior from a child to a parent. A child to a parent. In fact, I don't want to get in. There is. I'm just going to say it in relationship to Kibbud Av V'Em. One of the mitzvah of Yira, one of the expressions of Yira, is that a child should not go into the bathhouse together with his parent, with his father. It's an expression of Yira. And the same thing applies with other individuals. But there are many levels. Just seeing him lying there naked is inappropriate. Very simple. It's inappropriate. Yes?
I think it's also inappropriate by a gay Vishnei.
Oh, good. That's good. That's going to be another issue. That's correct. That's precisely. Some will identify that as exactly what they're... transgression was. More so than they saw, they did nothing and also wanted to get others to what? To look at him. Hey, brothers, come and take a peek. Yes?
So, in the unfolding stories, do we, of Ham's sons, do we know anything other than about Canaan?
Nothing.
So, Canaan is the only son who continues to play a role. In one way or the other.
That is correct. And he's going to be cursed later.
Yes.
So we have to assume he did something. So otherwise, Noach would never say Arur Kanan.
Right.
Why would he say that? So he must... That's what's driving everybody to say something about Canaan's role. Otherwise, it's unexplainable why Noach would curse his child, his grandchild. Yeah. What? It's an excellent question. That... Good. That is an excellent question. How did he know it was anybody? That's a good question. And what is even bigger question? If nothing happened to him, if you accept the opinion that he was somehow castrated, so he obviously knew something happened to him. How did he identify? We'll have to address that. But if they did was just looked at him, how would he sense? What is even a greater question? How would he sense that anything happened to him? Because he would probably know that something happened because he went to bed uncovered and he wakes up, he's covered. So maybe he got wind of what happened. That's what you'll have to assume. When he wakes up from his stupor and he notices, hey, I'm fully clothed, I'm covered. So he'll ask one of his kiddies what happened and somebody was the tattletale.
But
yes.
He was stupid, he probably didn't realize he was uncovered. Why wouldn't he cover himself?
Because he went to, before you get drunk, before you get drunk, you have to be in that condition. You don't, once you're drunk, you don't get undressed. He was probably drinking wine, went into his bedroom, whatever it was, his tent, got undressed, felt really good, getting drunk, and then he wakes up, he's covered. Okay, you can speculate a lot of things, but you're going to have to say something. Say something. Again, let's just follow Rashi through, and then we will try to peek at others. Yeah. In Chaf Gimel. So then the Torah tells us that Shem and Yefes come and take a blanket and cover him. So Rashi says, Vayikach Shem v'Yefes. Grammatically, what's wrong with that phrase?
Singular.
It's in the singular, and there are two people here. So Rashi addresses it. He says, Ein ksiv kan vayikru. It does not say they took, which is grammatically correct. Ela vayikach. Limeid al shame shinis ameitz b'mitzvah yoser miyefetz. Shame is a little more aggressive in trying to cover up Pop. So maybe it was his idea, he started taking, then Yefes joins in, and okay, anoch shlepa. And therefore, yet Shem gets full credit for it, and Yefes only mild credit. Lekach, based on this action, Zachu Banav, the children of Shem, were awarded Litalit Shaltzitzis, a talis with tzitzis for the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Yefes zachu banav likvura, and Yefes earned the privilege that his children will always find burial in peace. That was always not always guaranteed. We had in our history hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of people who were not laid to rest, you know, in a dignified fashion. So Yefes earned that particular title. Others are, for example, Chizkuni is a little concerned about this award because it has already been stated. If you take a look at the Chizkuni on page number one, which I bracketed, this is not the big chiddush of Chizkuni, but once you have the page, anybody need a page? Anybody need one? I made enough just for you. Yeah? So the Chizkuni says, Vayikas Shem v'Yefes, Piresh Rashi, Lekach Zochu Banav Shel Shem L'Talit Shel Tcheles. So he writes, this is very difficult. Very difficult. Not sure exactly what the abbreviation is, Chazak. Means something, it means a difficult question. I don't know exactly what it represents. Ho Amrinan Ba'alma, it has been said elsewhere in a Gemara, Bishar She'amar Avraham, Imichut V'atzroch Na'al, Zachu Banav L'chutin Shel Tzitzis. When Avram wages war on behalf of the four and the five, so Melech Zdom offers him an enormous wealth. Says Avram, I am not going to take even a shoelace. V'lo tomar ani ha'esharti et Avram. I don't want Melech Zdom claiming I was the one who made Avram wealthy. Based on that, Sruch va'at Sruch Na'al, Chut at Sruch Na'al, says the Gemara that it was Avram who was awarded tzitzis for that particular mitzvah. So which one is it? Is it Avram or Shem? It's good. Okay. So right. Okay. Right. We can debate. It should be Shem because he's first before Avram. He just alerts us to that. But what's the grace of Gedillah about the mitzvah of tzitzis? Why specifically? Why was he awarded the mitzvah of tzitzis? So you can use this for this Shabbos. The Shabbos Parsha Shlach concludes with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Don't ask me why the mitzvah of tzitzis in Parsha Shlach. You should ask that question. As I tell you 6,000 times, many of my drashot, why does a halachic topic appear in the midst of narrative? Doesn't belong here. All of a sudden, in the end of the Meraglim story, I'm talking about tzitzis. For what? But anyhow, listen to something the Rav once suggested. As you well know, tzitzis is comprised of two different colors, tcheles and lavan, white and blue. There are some Rishayim that actually believe, the Balamor in specific, who says that in the absence of tcheles, there is no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at all. Because one is ma'akev the other. Just like by Arba Minim, if you have three out of the four, don't bother taking any. Because there's no mitzvah to take three out of four. The mitzvah is to take all four. You don't have one, you're exempt from the mitzvah. So the Baal HaMor says that tcheles is ma'akev v'salav. We don't be paskin against him, but he says it. Then there is a three-way debate, how many of the strings should have tcheles on it? Right? So Rambam's opinion is, as you well know, tzitzis, there are eight strings, but there are really only four. There are four strands that are folded over for a total of what? Eight. Rambam believes two out of the eight should be dyed with tcheles. And today you can see it. Today you can see. There are a lot of tcheles around, and you know, years ago, even if they had it, it's very expensive, and most people simply could not afford it. But today it's easy, it's more relatively, if I can get a pair of tcheles of about $50, $60 in Israel, and you buy it. So the Rambam too. The Ravid says only one of the eight strands should be dyed tcheles. So half of it. So it's you take a half of a strand and dye exactly half, then when you fold it, one of the eight are tcheles. Rashi says four and four. Four Lavan and four Tchelet. That's Rashi's opinion. Most of us who have Tchelet follow the Rambam, two out of eight. So, symbolically, the Rav once suggested that Tcheles and Lavan represent two stages in a person's life and in the history of Am Yisrael. Whenever they want to describe something that is abundantly clear, evident, recognizable, understandable by all, the expression is Mechuvarin Kesem, Mechuvar. That's the Aramaic of what? Lavan. Mechuvarin Kesimla. Kesimla. If you remember when we studied Parshat Ki Tetze, Parshat Ki Tetze, so we discussed the halacha of Motzi Shemra. Does anybody remember the topic of Motzi Shemra? It wasn't that long ago. When did we do Ki Tetze? You don't have that notebook here?
Yeah, I started doing
what?
I started doing a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Ki
Tetze is in what? In
Dvarim.
Towards the end of Dvarim.
Okay.
I know, that's why I'm expecting you to remember it. Because it wasn't light years ago.
3 years ago.
Right? So, if he say, discusses the case of where someone accuses his wife of not being a virgin. Not being a virgin. A man gets married, and he makes an accusation, why is not a virgin? So what does the Torah say? Ufarsu et hasimla. You can open up, you have your chumash. Ufarsu et hasimla. You come to Bez, then what do? You spread out the sheet. It doesn't really mean that you come to Bez with a sheet and there's a blood stain on it. It means it's abundantly evident that what? That the guy's lying through his teeth. That's what it means. It's just an illustration, an imagery of what? That he's been proven that the guy has no idea what he's talking about. No idea. Because he has to claim one of two things. That she had a relationship. You know, before she had a relationship before, that's why she lost her virginity. And if he can't prove it, he is motzi shame ra. So what happens? He gets lashes, he pays 100 silver pieces, and he's never allowed to divorce her. The lo siya lo lisha.
Lucky one.
Yeah, lucky one. It's only if she doesn't want to get divorced. Only if she doesn't want to get divorced. Because again, there are times in Jewish history, and not too distant to go, that if you were divorced, you had no chance of getting married again. None. So this is, in effect, protection for the wife.
And also, you probably starve.
What?
Starve.
Yes? There are many reasons. But anyhow, so whenever the Torah wants you to understand, to something clear, it's that imagery. Michuvarin kisimla. They're clear, white, just like that imagery that I find in Parsat Ki Tetze. Tchelet is darker. And there is a machlokes between Rashi and Rambam. When we say that Tcheles resembles the sea, which resembles the sky, at what point of the day does it resemble the sky? So for today's purposes, we're going to accept Rashi's interpretation at the end of the day. Sky at the end of the day. What color is this sky at the end of the day? It's just a couple of minutes before absolute nightfall. What is it? It's very dark. It might be blue, but it's a very dark blue. That, according to the Zohar and other things, represents that you don't. There's no clarity whatsoever. You can't really see it. What? The Bein HaShemashot. Exactly. You have no real clarity of what's happening. The blessing of Tzitzis, given to Shem, is that his children will be able to relate and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu during both times of their lives. When things are going well, and they understand, and you understand, comprehend what is happening to you, you'll remember, as the pasuk says, lehagid baboker. Boker is clarity. That's what the word boker means. Livaker, to discriminate and see what's happening. Chazdecha, you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch. But there will be a period of time of darkness, where things will happen, where you haven't a clue understanding of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted in certain ways, and we confront those daily in our lives. When young people lose their life, you know, there are so many situations where we throw up our hands in resignation and say, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, Haydi Eini Noas Derachacha. We'll learn that in a couple of years in Sefer Shemot. Yeah. I want to know your ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to know why you decide this person, this young woman, has died at 43. I want to know. I want to know why that child died at 6 years old. I want to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not sorry, I can't even tell you. So what will they maintain during this period? Emunatcha balelot. They'll at least maintain faith. So that's the bracha of tzitzit. The tzitzit, I gave them tzitzis, tcheles, v'lavan. That they will be able to merge and understand their relationship with God, either at good times, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when things are crystal clear, and at times when there are no answers, only boundless questions, which challenge our faith to the core. To the core. And we maintain faith. That's the symbol that was given to people of shame for this particular episode. Then Rashi says, V'cham shebiza et aviv ne'emar bizaro. What happened to Cham? He is going to be disgraced in captivity. Cham is going to suffer the rest of his life. Rest of his life. Yes. Correct. We all have a mitzvah. But
the first ones to wear?
No, you can say that literally. They were told about the mitzvah of tzitzis and were wore tzitzis right now. But it means more philosophically. They'll be able to relate on a much better level. On a better level.
And also, there will be less bezeruna.
Yes, 100%.
That's what Rashi was getting at.
That's what Rashi's getting. I don't know if it's what Rashi's getting at. It's your opportunity to speak to Pop and ask him how he would darshan this particular Rashi. That's all. That's, you know, that's your challenge.
But the children of shame include the Arabs, so it's not just the children of shame.
I don't know. Don't know. Then Rashi addresses the second time Ufnehem Achoranit. Lama Nemer Parm Shnia. Why is it written twice? Ants Milame. Kishikarvu etzlo vuhutzruchu lahafochatzmon lechatzoso hafchu pneim achoranit. It's very difficult to walk in backwards, Pop's lying behind you, and to cover him properly. So what did they do? They actually had to turn around to see exactly where he was. And then what did they do? Once they took, now they turned their face around and put the blanket on him. So the second time, when it says Ufnehem Achoranit, they were actually facing him. But only their face was now behind them. They didn't gaze at him. They had to turn around to put the blanket on, but they didn't gaze. They took this, turned this way, and that's how Rashi addresses the second Ufnehem Achoranit. The last Rashi that I want to do, then we go to someone else. The last Rashi. Bino HaKatan, says Rashi, Katan does not designate age, sequence at all. What does HaKatan mean? The despicable one. HaBazui, HaPasul V'hin HaBazui. It's an imagery. Katan does not mean biologically smaller or younger. Katan means, you know, the low life, exactly. What? The inferior one. The one who's abused, habazoi, shamed, ridiculed. He's called Katan. But who is the doer all the time? It's Cham. Who told Cham about it? Kina'an. And both of them are somewhat involved. Kacha lo made Rashi. Now that's a little stretch about the word Katan. It's not impossible. So I want to take a look at...
Maybe he was like young and didn't know anything?
I don't... Rashi doesn't want to say that he didn't know anything.
Well,
yeah.
If you say somebody's a little man, it means they're petty.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So
that's correct. You're thinking little, you're thinking small. Exactly. But it's not in the... Chum was not his youngest. That's what Rashi's saying. Chum is not his youngest. Yes.
I always thought that when they said Kanaan,
Oh yeah, he was one of his sons. It's going to say later, it's going to delineate every one of his children. Of Ham, 100%. He's a real guy. So now let's take a question. I have no idea. It doesn't report to us how old Canaan was. Okay? We will discuss that when another couple of psukim, when the Torah suddenly tells us how old Noach is. That question will come up.
Is that a... Like a tal is katan. So anytime we see the word katan, we know it's inferior?
It's an interesting question. Not always. Not always. No. No. No.
Like in a tal is...
No, talis katan means is literally is the one that you small one that you wear underneath your garments. That's because it's not the big talis which you wear on top, which was the talis katan was invented in the 13th century. Gemara never heard of anybody wearing a talis katan. Never, because you were expected to wear a talis all the time. When Jews became very involved in commercial enterprise in Middle Ages, they felt a little uncomfortable doing business wearing a talis. So the Mordechai said, you're not going to wear tzitzit, not going to be mekayem tzitzit this whole day. He invented this little garment of a talis katan, within its own little bracha. Its own little bracha.
But he used to walk around with a big talis?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's why it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Rambam never heard it either. Only a little after the Rambam, the Mordechai. Good. I want to get to Sfarno. Sfarno is shocking. Take a look at it. It's on that first page, starting with the words in Pasuk Chavdar Eis Asher Asa Lo Beno Hakatan. Read Chizkuni's. I mean, look at Chizkuni and tell me who is Beno Hakatan. Tell me who is Beno Hakatan. Chizkuni.
That's what I was thinking.
Who is Kenoha Katan?
According to the footnote, Hushem
Habinash. Okay. How does he interpret that?
A solo that they covered him. Those were the people who covered. In other words.
No, it says Vayeda Esa She Osolo Benoha Katan.
Right.
So
are we reading Chizkuni?
Yes, we are. Yes. So who is the one? So what does it mean, Beno Hakatan? Literally. But who is Beno Hakatan? Shame.
Shame.
They can't be both Beno Hakatan.
Isn't he the oldest?
Oh. Every kid in Cheder, when you read Parshas Noah, the Eile told us Noah, Shame Chom V'Yafes. According, not only was he not the oldest, he was the youngest. He's Beno Hakatan. And why and who is getting credited only for doing the good thing? Only Shem. Only Shem. Vayiketz Noach Miyon, Vayeda et kol asher asa Beno Hakatan. Now, according to this, he still had no clue who did what? Who did what? Who violated him. That's not. There's no evidence in the text he knew. So what must have happened? He woke up and understood that what? That somebody covered him. And he started inquiring. Like we do as a parent. One child is mischievous. The other child is mischievous. You have no idea who it is. But the other guy knows exactly who it is. And he already started the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not rat. On your sibling or your friend. Thou shalt not rat. It's the 11th commandment in school. It's more important than the first of 10 to a lot of kids. And I always tell them, you'll remember this, Nechama, how Ibn Ezra says, it's the most inappropriate behavior you can ever find. Inappropriate. What does Ibn Ezra say? In Shmot, in Vayikra 19, it's worth looking it up again. Open up the verse, Vayikra 19. If you know about it, just look what the Torah says. I believe it's Pasuk Yud Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. Chapter 19, Parshat Kedoshim. What does it say in there? Pasuk 13? Lo, what? Does it say Lo Tignovu? Where does it say Lo Tignovu? Is that Yud Aleph? What pasuk is Yod? It starts Lo Tignovu. Yud Aleph. Lo Tignovu. Okay. In Kiddushim, from the beginning until Sheni, all of the Aseret HaDibrot are posted. All of them. All in plural. All in plural. It doesn't say Ish Imo Ve'yavav Tira. It says Tira'u. Right? Eshab Sosai Tishmoru. Good. It says Lo Tignovu. And the Aseret HaDibrot, it says Lo Tignov. So the Ramban is a whole theory. Not talking about it now. Ibn Ezra says Ki Haro'eh Umacharish Gamhu Ganav. If you see something happen and you are quiet, Macharish, you are considered a thief. Not only is the thief considered a thief, but if you have relevant information, halachically you are considered a thief. So says Ibn Ezra. So don't give. That's what I say. I tell this to them all the time. Don't think you're doing the right thing. Ethically, morally, halachically, you're doing the wrong thing. And Noach put the guilt trip on shame as well. Tell me what happened. And they did. They spilled the beans. And that's why he reacts and he curses the guilty party. We'll see. He says the guilty. But number one startling information is that he believes Shem is the youngest one, and he repeats it later as well. To my knowledge, he's the only one who says that Shem is the youngest. Because every time the Torah lists it, at the beginning of the parsha and at the end of the parsha, they will review again. Eile toldos Noach. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Shem Cham and Yafes. Twice the Torah is going to make a mistake. List him first, even though he was born last. Lo ole al adat. But that's number one, what Chizkuni says. So Asha Asa lo beno akatan. The good guy. Exactly. No one reads it that way. No one. Everybody assumes that what did Noach know? What the bad guys did.
Why do they use
Kesem
when they have Milim Domot? Like, why are they not the same then?
What do you mean?
Like, we just said that
Benoah
Katan is the
Bazoyan. No, that's Rashi. Chizkuni said, I don't hear any of the Asor. Katan means the way it's Ormanus. He's the youngest son. Mm-hmm. Well, the youngest son didn't do anything bad. Hence, he's compelled to say, what did he see? What the good son did.
Mm-hmm. Could we say that Noah had prophetic vision?
It is possible. I won't deny that. It's possible. It's a possibility that God prophetically showed him exactly what happened. It's not an impossibility. Yes. Because here, Chizkuni will follow Rashi's lead. It was Shem that initiated it. Asha asa, not lo, not asha asola, not asha asu lo banav, asalo, in the singular. One of them is to be credit, the other one is anoch shlepa. He came along for the ride. Whether he gets something or not, it's not. He's not punished. Not punished. Yeah.
At the risk of derailing this, how do you reconcile when we say Alfaid for gossiping and telling tales and causing ill will and all that? How do you reconcile that with them being honest with Noah?
That's not telling tales. That's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to come forward.
100%. That, you don't say Al Chait for that. You list that on your credit chart. Rabbeinu Shalom, I did the right thing. I exposed the criminals. I exposed the criminals. It's the first thing on your list. I exposed the criminals.
If you know somebody is adulterous, are you supposed to let someone know?
Yeah.
You're
supposed to let the Bezdin know.
Well,
supposed to let the husband know.
You are.
And the wife. Yeah. Because there are halachic consequences by not knowing. 100%. Yes.
Nowhere in the text does it say that Noah asked.
That is correct.
Did this, so
That is correct. Yeah. Nobody in the nowhere in the text. So we have to speculate.
Right, but can it also be by Yehuda that he knew intuitively because of the behaviors of his sons from before?
Whoa!
He knew who is the one who would. Do
whoa!
It. Like, you know, who's gonna, when I come home with groceries?
To me, to tell me, I want to tell you something. Okay, so let me tell you something. Let's assume, just for argument's sake, let's assume Ezra was the one who never volunteered. Let's assume Ezra, Rabbi Wiener, never volunteered. So the next time that you don't know, it's got to be him. Do children like that, when they are identified always as being the culprit when they didn't do it, just because they have a reputation, is that fair?
He's saying it's not being the culprit. He's saying he knew who did the
Okay. Now I ask you, had he not been the one who did it, how would Chum and Yafis react as a child, as their brother? No. Pop thinks that, well, I finally did something right, and who's he giving credit for? A punk. He's mom's favorite. That's why. I don't know. It's possible. It's an excellent suggestion. It is. It's an what I'm telling you is, I told you, when the Torah doesn't provide the information, you have a right to suggest whatever you feel compelling. And the word Vayeda might support you. He had this inner intuition. Yes, that's an excellent suggestion.
It doesn't even have to be inner intuition, because the way the word has been used before, by Vayeda,
at least you know. No, there it means that he knew her and had relations with her.
That's the point. In other words, that so that Noah understands. In other words,
I want to tell you something. What you said, Vayeda, in Bereshis, would support the Gemara, that Chum had a homosexual relationship with him. Vayeda, because that's what it meant. That's correct. Yes, excellent point. But that's not Chizkuni. Yes. Okay? Yes. Okay, so I want to tell you, in another hour or so, I forget who's going to say it, if it's Chizkuni or not, says that this was all motivated based on their analysis of the Cain and Hevel episode. What was the Cain? Some claim, I don't think it's the pshat, but some claim, and it's going to be quoted on the next page, that the Cain and Hevel, because you remind me of it, because what you said, was motivated by what? Inheritance. That if you have a child, if you have a parent, right? And now, who's going to inherit? Well, if there are two children are going to inherit. So Cain said, I'm not sharing the pie with another brother. I'm killing him. What happens next? I am the only heir to Pop's world. His entire world. Wow. That's exactly what Chum is thinking of. Why? Because, especially, again, it's operating on the possibility that he actually, you know, sterilized him. Why? He read into Noach's mind that he wanted to have more children. Maybe he discussed it at the kitchen table. Wanted to have more children. So Chum, whoever did this, says, oh, no. It's bad enough I have three brothers that I got to split everything with. He wants to bring two brothers. Now he wants to bring another couple of children into this world. I'm going to make sure he doesn't. So it's all what? All driven by what? By what? But your analysis about brothers getting along and then conflict leading up, that's a very interesting point. It is. But, yes. A lot of creativity today. Wow, it's great. And then B'nai Shem. That's
so
correct.
That the order there.
That's correct. In the lineage of the children.
Right.
That's correct.
Backwards.
Correct. What's and that's that? What. So Chistuni thinks that's the one that's the accurate one. I don't know why. Don't know why. Yeah. Good. So let's continue. Let us continue. On the bottom of the page, on Sforno. Oh, hold on a second. Now let's take let's finish continue with Chizkuni. Turn the page. Okay, he's going to offer his commentary backwards. In the next pasuk, Kinaan is cursed. Arur Kinaan, Eved Avadim Yel Echav. He will all be a perpetual servant for what? For his brothers. So take a look at Chizkuni. Vayomer Arur Kinaan. Alav ne'emar, umacharti et b'neichem ve'et b'noteichem. Your children will be sold as slaves. And that's who it refers to. Refers to whom? To Kinaan. Arur Kinaan. Cham chait, uKinaan nitkalel? If Cham was the one who what? Who transgressed, why in the world do you curse his child? Curse Cham! Curse Cham. Ella lefi shekatuv vayivarech Elohim et Noach ve'et banav. Since it already says that God what blessed Noach and his children, ein kilala b'makom bracha. A curse of a human being cannot override a blessing offered by God. Lefikach vayomer Orakana. Therefore he said what? Arukana. Now tell me why you don't like it. Tell me why you don't like it. What? Tell me why you don't like it. What? Okay, why did you call us older? He's going to try to address that. But what fundamentally is disturbing about that? Yes.
First of all, you curse somebody for what they did.
Of course. You curse somebody for what they did. But I can't curse the guy who did something. Why? Because God already blessed. I'll do it. Take it on his children. Does that say, is that very fair? Is that very fair that you take it out on a child because you cannot seek revenge based on the perpetrator because an external factor?
Not fair, but it's natural,
it's human. It's okay, but you know, it's you're trying to paint Noach as a ish tzaddik, tamim haya bedorotav. He's already faulty. That's not. So you mean to tell me he's going to perpetuate that? Yeah.
I actually think it's not as strange as you're suggesting, because
okay. That you've done something to destroy our relationship. Now I'm going to make sure. I hear. Yes. Okay.
Doesn't the Torah often equate children with grandchildren? They mention them.
Good. That's going to come a little later. The perpetrator of this event is going to be Kanan. So why do I say Bino HaKatan, which appears as Cham? Because many a times we classify grandchildren as what? As children. And Kanan is the perfect is a child of Noah. Anybody who has grandchildren knows that. Do you like your children more than you like your grandchildren? Just the opposite. I can tell just the opposite. I don't bring my kids donuts every Friday. I bring every one of my grandchildren every Friday. But I never bring my kids donuts. Not now. I know. But somebody mentioned, Mrs. Foreman mentioned, so I'm saying, I'm acknowledging that she might be right, simply from the text, namely, that it's Orur Kinaan. Chizkuni doesn't agree with that. He disagrees completely. That's good. That's his right to disagree with you. You have a right to disagree with him too. Yeah. Yeah. So let's continue to what he says. So number one, he says that Chum did it, but he couldn't engage in punishing him, so he punishes his child. V'yesh omrim, and now you should always know this about any parshan, any rishon. Whenever they give two interpretations, why? Because they know they're not satisfied with the first. I mean it. If they thought that the first one is the real pshat, why bother offering second thing? It's got to be weaker. But if you know that there's inherent weakness with your first offering, you'll try to come up with another scenario. One can speculate that even though he offered his, he understands how weak it is, that it just makes no sense that you're going to punish the child, the grandchild, on account of the transgressions of the parent. That's ridiculous. V'yesh orim, Chum lo asalo meuma. Chum did absolutely nothing. Ela ra'uhu migula erva, saw him lying there naked, velo kisahu kemosha asa shem v'yafes. Now, tell me why that might not have been anything wrong. Tell me why. Give me the scenario. Why is he now saying Chum did nothing wrong? Therefore, he's going to curse Kanah. I'll tell you why in a second. But why Chum did nothing wrong?
Maybe he went to the brothers to report it.
So why did? But he said he didn't do it himself. But why is it walking in did nothing? He didn't say that yet. He's discussing Chum. His first statement is Chum did nothing wrong. Tell me why. Exactly. How's he supposed to know? Pop's lying there naked. How's he supposed to know that? So maybe he just walked in to ask Pop something about some, you know, investment strategies. And there he is, lying there naked.
And he ran out.
Correct. And he did nothing about it. Good. Let's just continue his story.
Maybe he didn't know what to do.
Let's see. This is a picture that we're painting because the details are not furnished in detail. It happens 90% of the time. Details are not furnished. So let's just continue. Rega. So he says, so what did he not do? He simply did not think, you know, cogently that what? What should he do? Take a blanket and cover him. V'halachu v'gila et ha-davar bechutz, and he went outside what? With talk about it. V'lo nitkaven shiyechasuhu. When he went out and discussed with his brothers, why did he go out and tell his brothers? Not because they should come up with a plan to what? To cover him. Because the little genius could have thought it out himself. What? He's speculating. Shi'imratza kisahu. Because if he really wanted, what could he have done? Could have covered himself.
Is it the use of the word banyakid? Meaning, as opposed to bayomar, or I don't know, another word,
is that story? It's a good question. Usually, vayagate will also include like Haggadat Eidos, or his testimony. Ulekach lo nitbarechu. Because he did technically nothing wrong, but he failed to do something right, he was not blessed by Noach. The others were blessed. He was not blessed. Vishoma kina'an b'no. Now what happens? Kanaan hears the little tumult amongst his brothers, and before they get a chance to cover him, what happens? He charged and did whatever he did.
To his grandfather.
What did he do? He doesn't say. He expects you to know the Gemara that either he sterilized him or he had a homosexual relationship with him. That's what he expects. Al Cain killed Noach. Therefore, Noach cursed him. V'raya l'davar, and I'll prove to you that I'm right, because the pasuk says, "Eis asher asa lo bino hakatan, v'hakatan b'bnei chom." Who is he the bino hakatan of? Kana'an is the youngest son of Cham. Not bino Noach's youngest child, but whose youngest child? Cham's youngest child.
I like Mrs. Smarno.
What?
I like Mrs. Smarno's explanation.
Mrs. Smarno? Oh, okay. 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 So in effect, it winds up to be a grandchild. It winds up to be a grandchild. And therefore, this grandchild, ulfi shehiskiro kvar betchilas ha'inyan, ein tzarech lahazkir shmo shenis. Ve'ein lomar hakatan bibnei Noach. Sharei cham lo haya katan bibanim, elo yefes hagadol, cham hasheni, shem hashlishi. The order of their birth was yefes, cham, shem. So, therefore, Bino HaKatan cannot refer to whom? To Cham, because he was not the oldest, the youngest son, by anybody's count. He's always a middle child. Exactly. And what happened? So he did nothing. He goes outside, he hears the commotion, he takes, Kenan takes advantage of it, then Shem and Yefes come in and cover him.
Do they say how old Kenan is?
No, they never say how old he is. Never. All we will be told is how old Noach was when the Mabul took place. That's the only thing that we know. And how old he is when he died. In the interim, we don't have any episode event to tell us what happened when. What happened when. Yes?
When it says bachutz, is that like to me that connotates like outside in the marketplace, like it's got
the
yentas.
I think it was a
gossip. No, I think it was a gossip. But when they say
I don't know.
No. The term sounds like to me.
Yeah, I hear.
Like it's yet to be.
But it means, literally, it means outside of the tent.
Yeah, right.
That's what it means, outside of the tent. All right. We'll stop here. This was, I really appreciate all everybody's suggestions, but it's a perfect illustration why you have it. There is a share next week. We'll continue with this. Don't worry, I'll make copies again if I want to do it.
Did you hear Mike Shiloh about the mezuzah?
No, what happened with the mezuzah?
Oh, so somehow we noticed, and we don't even know why, we don't have a mezuzah in our back door. We think maybe it was taken down to do work.
Oh, okay.
So I ran out, I bought a cloth, okay. I bought a mezuzah, and I put it up. But I put it up on the right side going out.
Okay.
So
it's by a door?
It's an exterior door.
Right.
So it's on, but it's on the right side going out instead of the left side.
Right.
The left side, I think intuitively I just went to the right because the left side has the alarm wires.
Oh.
I can switch it. I can probably avoid the wires. I don't know exactly where they are inside.
If you can.
Switch it.
Yes.
Okay. So, but if I'm afraid I'm going to hit the wires?
You can leave it on the other side.
Okay. Yeah. I see the wires.
You can't hit the wires. That would be terrible.
Right. So I see the wires going into the hole.
Got it. Uh-huh.
And they go, I know they feed down.
Right.
I just don't know where how far in the nails.
Uh-huh.